Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on another popular lie right after this. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something is wrong with them because they have been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're now teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. And you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion? Yeah, that's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandment model, the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, commandments, as well as the penalties and benefits for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, natural law, or karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about big lies. There's a big lie going on out there. We call it 9/11. It's an important event here in the United States. It reminds us of Pearl Harbor, a sneak attack that killed about 3,000 people. That's about how many people died at Pearl Harbor. It's about how many people died there in the Twin Towers. But there was a third building that came down that day. I don't know if you remember or not, but the Twin Towers were about 100 stories tall, and they both collapsed. You got to see that on CBS and NBC and ABC and Fox. Every time I think about that, I say, wow, that's an event that I'll never forget. But there was a 42-story office building in the same complex, and the owner of that complex, a fellow by the name of Silverstein, was on TV that very afternoon, and he was being interviewed. After all, it was his buildings that were attacked, and they were knocked down. Mr. Silverstein there, after suffering all this great and horrendous loss, you know, was being interviewed by somebody, I don't know if it's Dan Rather, you know, or somebody. And so he was asked about what happened to building number 7, you know, building 7, 42-story concrete and steel structure, you know, not as imposing as a 100-story building like the Empire State Building or the Twin Towers, but nevertheless, 42 stories, that's quite a building. And they showed a picture of it right there, and it imploded. I mean, you know, have you ever watched on PBS, you know, once in a while they'll have a story on there, and they're demolishing a building. And so they have a company come in there and wire this building up for demolition. And they put explosives all over the building. And then you get to stand off here and they take, you know, we got movies running and videotapes. And pretty soon they count it down, you know, kind of like launching a rocket to the moon. And they go 10, 9, 8, 7. And pretty soon somebody pushes the button. And then there's a little bit of dust comes out kind of all over the building, you know, well, up at the top, you know. There's a little bit of dust comes out. And then the building just magically falls right straight down into the basement of the building. I mean, it doesn't fall off to the left or the right, and it doesn't do anything, you know, very dramatic. It just kind of evaporates right in front of your eyeballs, and a great big cloud of dust comes up. It's called an implosion, just exactly like you saw the Twin Towers. Remember? I mean, those Twin Towers just fell right straight down, right into the basement. They didn't fall off to the left or the right or north or south. Kind of like it was a controlled demolition. Now, when I saw that, I thought to myself, my God, that looks like one of those controlled demolitions that I see on PBS every once in a while. But then NOVA came out just a few days after the 9/11 attack. I say a few days, maybe it might have been a month or two or something like that. And the NOVA special, it was, explained what happened to the two buildings. And it was really impressive. I like that NOVA show. I ought to call them up and order that. It's a classic. And they had guys come on there who were engineers and architects and people like that, and they explained how that happened. They explained how the fuel from the airplanes had burned so hot that the long spans of steel, you know, from side to side over there, became heated. And as it got heated and heated, pretty soon they sagged. And then as they got hotter and hotter and they sagged, it broke the bolts that were holding them on the outside structure. And pretty soon it reached critical mass, and the building just fell right straight down, just like they do when you put explosives in them. Now, of course, you know, that makes all the sense in the world, because nobody could think of or believe that the Twin Towers had been wired for demolition and then demolished intentionally with explosives, because, my God, how could you do that with all those people in it for months and months? Because how long would it take to wire one of those buildings for demolition? Certainly it would take more than a month or 2 months or 3 months, and people would be walking in with boxes of explosives and wires and stringing wires up and down the halls. And so it never entered my mind that that building could have been wired for demolition and then demolished right in front of our eyeballs after two airplanes ran into them. Never occurred to me. And besides that, the NOVA special was so convincing. I believed every word. I loved it. It was a wonderful program. So some time went by, and I didn't think very much of it. And I remembered Mr. Silverstein on television when he was asked, well, what happened to building number 7? And he said, well, because of the damage that was done to building number 7 and the fact that it had caught fire, that at 5 o'clock in the afternoon they had to pull the building, had to pull it. That was his words. He used the word pull, P-U-L-L. I'm a layman. I don't know what pull the building means. But then they showed a picture of what happened. And the building had a little puff of smoke or dust up at the top. And then the building just collapsed straight down right into the basement. And I thought, oh, my God. That building was demolished. It was explosives that brought it down. That's building number 7. Well documented. I saw it. You saw it. Everybody saw it. Do you remember building number 7? 42 stories high. It had to come down because it was on fire. It was so badly damaged, it was a threat to the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And so, in the emergency of the day, they had to pull it. That was Silverstein's words. You know, even with that, it never crossed my mind. I never entered my mind that this was some kind of a wild conspiracy over here. This was a false flag operation. Never occurred to me. First of all, I couldn't imagine somebody flying an airplane into a building on purpose. There are some levels of evil and wickedness that some people can't comprehend. I'm one of them. I'm kind of like a virgin from Hollywood, you know. Hell, I didn't know what was going on. I was watching it. Saw it right there on TV while Dan Blather explained it all. But it didn't register on my mind that this was some kind of an inside job. Well, not until later, you know. Then my conspiracy theory senses and my adrenaline started to flow. You know, I said, oh, my God, could it be? Well, that was some time later, but I just wanted to bring to your attention this Building 7 story over there. You saw it. I mean, if you were watching the three networks that day, 9/11, you watched Building 7 at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon deliberately explode and fall to the ground. Now, sometime later, I had a little time to think about that, and I saw 4 DVDs. I got to tell you about these DVDs now. A guy sent me a DVD, and I think it came from Joyce Riley. I'm not sure, but Joyce Riley puts one out, and her husband, Dave Von Kleist, it's a, you know, what do they call that? It's a power hour. The power hour, and they're on radio. And Dave lives just up the road here a piece, and Joyce, and I don't know if Dave sent it to me or somebody else, but I got it, and I put it in my DVD player, and I couldn't believe my eyeballs. In the DVD, they bring up the theory of an inside job and that the Twin Towers had been deliberately wired with explosives, and that what we were watching was the controlled demolition of the Trade Towers. And I watched that, and I gasped. I said, oh, my God. And when I finished it, I thought, that never entered my mind before. And I said, wow, what a story. I haven't brought it up before. This is the first time I think I've brought up this 9/11 story here on the air, at least on my program. But the reason I thought I would finish up the series here on another big lie, or another lie that we accept, is because this is one of those monstrous lies. It outdoes anything that I have ever seen government do in the past. I mean, Pearl Harbor was a big lie. But at least the Japanese actually did attack Pearl Harbor. The big lie with Pearl Harbor was, well, did we know the attack was coming? Hell, they knew the attack was coming before the Japs knew. The Japanese ambassador in Washington did not know the attack was coming, but President Roosevelt did. How do you like that? Because they broke the Japanese code, you know, some years before. But anyway, getting back here to the Trade Towers, I saw this one DVD come in here, and so I thought, well, you know, okay, that's quite a little story. And pretty soon, another DVD came in. So I put it on, put out by a different outfit. wasn't Von Kleist and Riley. It was somebody else. I don't remember who it was. I just took it and played it. I get a lot of that. Listeners send books and papers and periodicals and discs to me all the time. And some of them are important, and some of them are interesting, and some of them are blockbusters. And this happened to be one of those blockbuster stories, you know. And I watched the second one. A little different voice, different narrator, you know, different pictures. You know, a lot of the same footage, you know, that you saw on CBS, but it was a different production. And I saw that, and I said, wow, that's a second guy over here that comes to the conclusion that, hey, this thing is an inside job, a false flag operation, they call it. So some time goes by, I don't know, a year or something like that, and one day I'm opening the mail, and here's another package comes in here, DVDs, and it's entitled something like, you know, a Trade Tower False Flag or Trade Tower Conspiracy, and or whatever it was called, you know. So I thought, don't put that one on, so I put another one on. And it was a different narrator, and it was a different outfit. I don't know who it was that sent it. You know, I got them upstairs here someplace, and all these DVDs, you know, that I've got, hundreds of them, but up there someplace, there's another set. There's a third set that comes along, and they're showing the footage, and they're telling the story, and this is a third guy that tells me, hey, this is a false flag operation, that this is an inside job. These buildings are being demolished. These airplanes flying into them is a made-up deal. Comes from the United States Air Force and the CIA. I thought, oh, my God, what are we, surrounded by a bunch of conspiracy nuts? Now, some time went by, and a fourth one came in. I said, oh, my God. What's this all about? So I put the fourth one in, totally separate, a fourth outfit. I don't know who it was, Alex Jones or Riley, or, you know, it was somebody out there that sent me another one. So I looked at the fourth one over there. Now, Alex Jones has done this, and Joyce Riley has done this, and then there's two other outfits have done this. I didn't put an outfit together, you know, and go out here and put all this footage together and tell you a story. I'm just a reporter. I just wanted to report that there's four outfits out there, you know, that have put these out. And the one thing that stood out in my mind was this building number 7. I want to zero in on this for you, because talk about a big lie over here. So, let me ask you this. You got a 42-story building. Let's start in San Francisco, California. There's a 42-story building called the Bank of America building in downtown San Francisco. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion here, that we would like to demolish that building. We'd like to wire it. The Bank of America company wants to build a new, bigger, better building, and they need to take that one down. How long would it take for Bank of America to get the permits, to hire the company, and to, you know, to evacuate the building, you know, empty the building out and get it all ready to go, and then wire that building for demolition and then blow it up? Could they do it in one day between 10 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Because that's the time frame on Building 7. 10 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, 7 hours. Do you believe that we could take a 42-story building that covers a whole city block, go out and hire a demolition company, wire the building, and blow it up in 7 hours? Could that be done? Do you believe it? Well, I don't think that you could wire a 42-story building in 7 hours. I don't think in 7 hours you could get the truckloads of explosives and the miles of wire that it would take and bring them to the site in 7 hours. But picture this. Surprisingly, on September the 11th, an airplane flies into one of the trade towers up near the top. An hour or so later, a second airplane flies into the second one. This alerts everybody that we're under attack. By about 11 or 12 o'clock, let's figure about noon, both trade towers are on the ground, and over at Building 7, it's now on fire, and somebody wakes up at noon and says, oh my God, look at the threat to the health, safety, and welfare of the public that's going on. We must pull Building 7. Between noon and 5 o'clock, boys and girls, it's 5 o'clock, now, 5 hours. Now, somebody has to get on the telephone and call the demolition company. Let's suppose that you have on your desk, Mr. Silverstein, a Rolodex. And in your Rolodex is the D for demolition companies. You whip over here, like I'm doing right now, and you flip over to D, and you go through the DX station, and you go through Lorraine Day, and you go through Todd Daniel, and then you get to, oh, here we go, demolition. Now, you pick up the telephone and you call the ABC Ajax Demolition Company and say, my God, I'm down here at the Trade Center. Both buildings are on the ground. Building 7's on fire. We need you to come out, wire Building 7 right away while it's burning. Yes, yes, it is. It's burning right now, and we need to demolish it. I know it's noon. I know it's short notice, sir, but we need you right away. I don't know how much explosives it's going to take or how many miles of wire. I don't know how many employees you're going to have to send over, but by 5 o'clock this afternoon, we want it on the ground. Do you believe that a demolition company could assemble the employees, the wire, the explosives, the blueprints? Forget about the building permit, the building department, and the red tape that goes along with it. There's an emergency. We'll presume that the fire chief says, go ahead, blow it up. All right, so that takes care of City Hall. We just have the physical problem of getting into a burning building that's a threat to everybody and wiring that thing. We just have the problem of getting the tons of explosives on trucks and move them through downtown Manhattan, through all the smoke and debris and dust, through all of the firemen and fire engines and policemen and police cars, and get them down here to the wreck site with all this debris in the streets. And we have to get through all this debris. Do you, honest to God, do you believe you could just drive your truck up to the front of Building 7 through all the debris? Or maybe we've got to carry all of the explosives for about 6 or 16 blocks by hand to get it down to Building 7 because all the streets are blocked with all of the wreckage and debris from the trade car. I mean, that place looked like Berlin in 1945, didn't it? Do you think people were just driving up down the streets of Berlin after the Russians finished demolishing it? Now, talk about another big lie. It's pretty obvious to anybody that's got a brain that functions above 70 on the IQ scale that Building 7 had to have been wired prior to 9/11. I mean, look, you watched it explode and fall to the ground. You listened to Silverstein and every other official there said it was necessary to pull it. So it's obvious that the building at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on 9/11 was already wired and all of the explosives were in place, past tense, wasn't it? Come on, kids, wake up and smell the coffee. No matter what you think about the trade towers over there, Building 7 had to have been wired at least between 12 o'clock noon and 5 o'clock, which is the official story. Now, and why don't you get on the telephone and call a demolition company and say you got a 42-story building in downtown New York and you want to explode it. Do you think maybe you might have to get a permit? A permit? Do you think that maybe you might have to go downtown to City Hall and make an application to the building department? Say, I got a 42-story building down here, and I want to demolish it, and I got to get a permit for it. Because it's pretty obvious to me as an old-timey general contractor that if I was given the job or if I was bidding on the job, I would have to be making some plans. I would have to have somebody come in there and say, how much explosives is it going to take this building down? Boys and girls, I won't know that until I get the plans for the building. So that means I got to go down to City Hall, I got to go into zoning and planning, and I've got to get a copy of the blueprints. You see, without the blueprints to the building, I'm not going to know where to plant the explosives. Do you believe that you could walk into City Hall at 12 o'clock noon, say, hey, give me the building plans for Building 7, and then we could sit down, I guess, at the building department and plot out all of the places in the building that we're going to have to plant explosives? Well, then when we figure out all the places, don't we have to then figure out, well, how much explosive at each one of these junctions in the building do we need? And then don't we need a Texas Instruments EL1197G3 here to add up how many pounds of explosives at each one of the joints that it's going to take and add it up to find out how many tons of explosives so that we can figure out, well, what size truck do we need? Do we need a permit to bring an explosives truck into Lower Manhattan? Would somebody at City Hall know about this? I mean, could you do this in total secret? I just wanted to throw that out there. We know that the building was exploded. They told us that. We watched the building fall down. And the cover story is it had to be brought down because it was on fire and it was a public hazard. We know that the trade towers fell by about noon. Nobody then would think about the fire in Building 7 until at least noon. It gave us 5 hours to wire it. That's impossible. Help. Even a grade B movie from Walt Disney, for crying out loud, would come up with a better plot line than that, wouldn't they? So I just wanted to point that out to you so that you could start thinking about this Building 7 in a more logical manner. I looked at the four DVDs, and I said, oh, my God, that's an inside job. Those trade towers did not pancake. That's a controlled demolition. You saw it. Then you watched Nova. My God, what does that tell you? The Nova people are in on it. Not only is Silverstein in on this, but the Nova people, WGBH, put the fiction out that, hey, listen, these buildings pancaked. So in all four of these DVDs put out by four separate outfits, Alex Jones is one, Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleiss is two, the Power Hour, that's two, and there's two more. I forget who the other two guys are. All four of them point that out. All four of them show pictures of buildings that did pancake. In an earthquake, buildings don't fall down into their footprint. They pancake down. Now, you watch the trade towers fall 100 stories in 9 seconds. I wanted to bring this up. 9 seconds. Wow, that's pretty fast. Buildings, when they pancake from 100 stories, take about 4 minutes. Yeah, the building it falls down and then it shakes the building, and then it falls down and then it stops and it shakes the building, and then it falls down again and it shakes the building and it falls down again. No, no, the Trade Towers did not shake and fall and stop and shake and fall and stop and shake. And it was a free fall. It came right from the top to the bottom. That TV antenna on the top was on the ground in 9 seconds. Now, I'm not an expert. See, I don't know what I'm watching, and I'm presuming that you probably aren't either. So I would suggest, this is why I thought I would point out the big lie here. There's an outfit called the Brave New Bookstore. And Brave New Bookstore is down in Austin, Texas. Now, they've got these DVDs. I don't know what the price of them is. They're probably $20 or $10 or something like that. Why don't you call them up and ask? And then get a copy of the DVD, and then put it in your machine, sit there and watch it. It takes a couple hours. Watch the DVD and then ask yourself, oh, my God, have I been deceived by the big lie? You see, you shouldn't feel bad. I mean, the world is filled with lies and filled with liars, and there's deception going on everywhere. In fact, God himself said in Revelation 12, verse 9, he said, the whole world has been, past tense now, whole world has been deceived. This is just one more deception on top of many other deceptions out there in the world. And this week I thought, well, let's take a look at some of these deceptions that go on around us. Some of them are kind of small. They go on daily, like at the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, when you take your car in to have the tires balanced and aligned in your front end aligned. They lie to you. There's a deception. There's a bait and switch. Oh, my God, Mr. Gordon, good thing you came back. Got your tires laying on the floor. Your front end's about to fall off, and we're going to save your life right now for only $2,195. That's $2,195. Oh, my God. Went out to have breakfast, came back, and the guy says, oh, you're lucky you came in this morning, because if you'd driven that car another mile, it probably would have killed you. Can't tell you how thankful I was that I took my car into the Firestone store. And then there's cancer. Remember, we talked about cancer, and then you want a fair trial, do you? And talked about Moses, how well-loved he was by the Israelites. And if you don't believe your preacher, you're going straight to hell, and voting cures all ills, remember? Education, cancer, insurance. And then it's going to cost us $84 million to close down Guantanamo. Hey, listen, I wish I had that contract. I could close Guantanamo down for $0. Doesn't cost a dime, nothing, zero, zilch. If the United States government pay me $1 million, I'll show you how to close that sucker down for no cash out of pocket. And for only $1 million, you save $83. And then, hell, I'm just a crummy high school dropout, and I can do that. And they got important people in Congress over here trying to figure out how to close Guantanamo down. Hell, the people in Hardin, Montana, for crying out loud, can figure that out, and they're just a bunch of damn dumb farmers up there. I tell you, boys and girls, I think the damn dumb farmers out here got more moxie on the ball than the whole damn Congress and the President and the Supreme Court and the rest of them rolled up into one. What I see in government is the display of an IQ that comes up to about 65 to 70 out of Washington, D.C. And let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. We want to keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, getting back here then to the big lies, another big lie. Before we took the break here, I said Congress has an IQ of somewhere around 65 to 70. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute, but let me give you the name and address of Brave New Bookstore. Their phone number is 512-480-2503. Again, that's area code 512-480-2503. And if you're online, you can go to bravenewbookstore.com. Simple enough. bravenewbookstore.com. Now, they've got those DVDs. I don't know if they've got all four from all four of those authors, but they'll either have Alex Jones's in there, or they'll have the Power Hours in there, or they'll have one of the others. I don't know which, but they'll have one. You only need one. Don't need all four, just any one of them. Tell you the story. And they're at 1904 Guadalupe Street. If you happen to live in Austin, Texas, then it's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B. That means down in the basement, Suite B, basement, Austin, Texas, 78705. Austin, Texas, 78705. Okay, there you are. Name and address. There's one source. You could also go to the Power Hour. Power Hour. They're on radio. They're probably on an internet connection too. I don't know. I don't play with the computer. I touched the computer one day, and the damn thing went on the fritz, and they told me keep your damn hands off the computer. So I haven't touched one since. But shows you how competent I am. I was looking for the on-off switch on it, and I couldn't find it, and they wouldn't tell me so. But I'm sure that the Power Hour is on some kind of an internet link someplace. That's what you're looking for. The radio program's called the Power Hour. And then Alex Jones is on. But what do they call Alex Jones? He's got a website or two or 19 or 26. I'm not quite sure how many, but there's a bunch of them. So I think if you plugged in Alex Jones, I think that you're going to find something out there. He's got them. And this Brave New Bookstore's got them. That's three sources for him. And I'm not sure that they've all got the same one. I'm just telling you, there might be 16 different outfits putting out that 9/11 story. I don't know. I've got four that I'm reporting to you on. And there's three sources for you, Alex Jones, Power Hour, and Brave New Bookstore. Now, there's three. All right. Now, with that in mind, I said that the Congress out here and our government over here evidently does not know about the false flag operation that occurred on 9/11. And the reason I say that is because the Trade Tower controlled demolition, which is now out on four DVDs, four separate DVDs. Let me write that. I'll circle that one off. That you can get from the Brave New Bookstore, Alex Jones, the Power Hour, and other sources, has completely bypassed 535 members of Congress. Because every time I'm watching the Lehrer News Hour or I'm watching CBS and they refer to 9/11 and those god-awful terrorists out here that knocked those buildings down, not one single member out of 535 members of Congress has heard of the Power Hour, Alex Jones, Brave New Bookstore, or the conspiracy theory. They have never seen these DVDs, not a single member of Congress, and there's 535 members there. It leads me to believe that Georgie Gordon is the only kid on the block that knows about these DVDs and Building 7 and Silverstein, talking about pulling the building at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm the only guy. So I'm going to circle that up. So it's totally bypassed 535 members of Congress. Next, I have never heard one county sheriff out of 3,500 counties in the United States, not one county sheriff, has seen these DVDs and has commented upon them. I would believe that if you viewed one of these DVDs, you would say, oh my God, I'm going to play this for my neighbor. I'm going to give a copy of this to my Aunt Bessie. I'm going to tell my Uncle Buster about this. Boy, won't he be surprised when he tells Aunt Edith. So 535 members of Congress don't know this, and 3,500 county sheriffs never heard of it. Next, there are 50 state governors in the United States. Not one state governor has ever come forward and said, I think that Silverstein story of wiring a 42-story building in 5 hours while it's on fire is a false story. Not one governor in America has come forward and said, hey, let me tell you that story. Now, our president at the time was George Bush. I can understand him not coming forward and telling you the story because I ain't sure he can figure it out. But surely Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, Ted Kennedy, Arlen Specter, Chris Dodd, come on, guys. Surely one of them real smart senators out there, you know, must have heard this story. Must have watched Building 7 implode and say, I wonder how they wired a burning building in 5 hours and brought it down. I wish I knew what contracting company that was. Hey, any of you people out there want to demolish a building, you want to find the company that wired the 42-story building number 7 in 5 hours and brought it down by bringing the explosives into town, looking up the blueprints, figuring out where to place all the explosives, and doing the job in 5 hours. Now, that's the company you want to hire. I'm telling you, you talk about a demolition company now, whatever company that is, Ajax, Acme, you know, hire them. Now, we got 50 state legislatures out here. These 50 state legislatures contain thousands of members. Not one legislative member in the entire United States of America has seen one of these DVDs on Building 7. Not one. Surely, a public official, a senator or representative in Colorado, Florida, or California who saw one of these would sound the alarm, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he sound the alarm? Kind of like Red Ryder or Tom Mix? You know, go out here and beat the gong and say, hey, wake up out there, folks. Let me tell you what's going on here. False flag, false flag. Well, it didn't come from any of the legislators out there. Now, the FBI has thousands of members. I've never heard one FBI member come forward and spill his guts. The CIA has thousands of members. When was the last time you heard a CIA agent come forward and say that 9/11 crap was a bunch of, hey, let me explain this Building 7. Like I said, no matter what you think of the Trade Towers, concentrate on Building 7 and ask yourself, how in the hell do you wire a burning building in 5 hours and bring it to the ground? Huh? Answer that. Now, if you believe that that's possible, my Aunt Bessie was a Seventh-day Adventist, God lover, dumb as a box of rocks, a virgin in Hollywood, and by God, my Aunt Bessie wouldn't believe that kind of crap. Now, the FBI with its thousands of members, the CIA with all of its thousands of members, the National Security Agency with all of its thousands of members and agents, I have yet, in 8 years has passed, I have not heard one NSA, CIA, FBI, state legislator, governor, county sheriff, or a member of Congress, House or Senate, ask the question, how in the hell do you blow up a building 42 stories high in 5 hours while it's on fire? And get all of the explosives and wire technicians and employees through the streets filled with millions of tons of rubble. My God, I'm not even sure that the United States Rangers or the Navy SEALs could do a job like that. That would be an interesting concept. I wonder if the Navy SEALs could take a burning building 42 stories tall in 5 hours' notice, wire that sucker, and bring her to the ground in 5 hours. Hey, some of you Navy guys out there, you must be a Navy SEAL. Now, you guys know about explosives. Hey. Send me a letter, would you? An email. Yeah, I'm waiting for a Paul Revere to jump up here and tell us what the hell happened there. Now we got the news media over here. ABC has an outfit called 2020. I've never seen 2020 come on there and explain that Building 7 phenomenon. Dateline, NBC. Come on, Dateline. Hey, Katie Couric over here. CBS, 60 Minutes. Dan Rather, you got canned. How come you don't come forward and tell us a straight skinny here, huh, Dan? No, it's not been one refutation. This is my point. These four DVDs put out by four different outfits exposing this manifest fraud concerning these trade towers, this 9/11 hocus pocus. Everybody gives them the cold shoulder. Not one refutation. Not one person has come forward and said, hey, these guys are lying. Don't believe this crap. Let's tell you the truth. Now, I saw the Nova special, and I don't know how many times I've watched those buildings fall down. It's like you and everybody else, along with Building 7. And then until these four DVDs were put out, nobody ever said, let me explain what you're watching over here. Let me show you what the big lie is. So I'm just suggesting, you know, for your own information, I don't care what you believe, and I don't care whether you do it or not, and I'm not trying to sell these DVDs, and I don't make a dime off of them. But, you know, you don't have to buy it from Alex Jones. You know, if you say, well, that guy's a, you know, but I don't want to buy from the Power Hour or from Brave New Bookstore. Well, then just pick one of the three. There's a fourth outfit out there someplace. I forget who they are now. Maybe I'll think of them before I finish. But go buy it from somebody. Alex Jones ain't paying me to promote his program or promote these DVDs, but I know he's got them. One of them came from Alex Jones. One of them came from and it's Dave Von Kleist that narrates it, so I know one of them comes from Dave Von Kleist. I don't know who sent it to me, but I'm just reporting to you. There's something phony going on there with that 9/11. You know that? I mean, there's something really phony there. Now, I'm just an old farmer out here, you know, and I ain't an expert at it, but I thought I'd report it. Now, listen. Brave New Bookstore, 512-480-2503. Got that down, Sally? Come on, sharpen your pencil there. 512, area code. 512 is the area code. Got it down? 480, prefix 480, 2503. Now, that's the phone number, Brave New Bookstore. If you're online, bravenewbookstore.com. Simple and straightforward, bravenewbookstore.com. Now, if you don't want to buy from them, I don't know what Alex Jones's telephone number is. I don't know what Alex Jones's website is. He's got a bunch of them. I think if you go to Google, punch in Alex Jones. Can you spell Jones, boys and girls? I think that'll get you connected with him. And then there's the Power Hour. I don't know how they're listed. Joyce Riley, Dave Von Kleist, Power Hour. You know, try that. Genesis Radio. Hell, if nothing else, get on there. Genesis Radio Network. They'll have an address there for the Power Hour, crying out loud. The Rileys used to be on Genesis. Hey, I got one more story here. It's the war on drugs. I had 15 minutes here. Let me tell you about the war on drugs. Over in Afghanistan, they grow heroin poppies. Heroin poppies. There's an outfit over there called the Taliban. You hear about them quite often in connection with Osama bin Laden. They're on the news every night. I can't miss them. Afghanistan. And these Taliban guys, they're the bad guys. And the NATO forces are the good guys. Now, that's if you're on this side of the world. Now, if you're over on that side of the world, then the Taliban and Osama bin Laden are the good guys, and the NATO forces are the bad guys. So wherever you're listening now around the world, we have two forces over here, the Taliban. Well, the Taliban used to be running this country called Afghanistan. They're the bad guys, and so we went over there, bombed them into oblivion, back into the Middle Ages, maybe back into ancient Stone Age, I'm not quite sure, threw him out of office and took over. At the time, the Taliban had eradicated the growing of heroin poppies because of their religious beliefs. They're Muslim. And they came to the conclusion that heroin's bad for people, so they eradicated it. Now the Americans came in. Now we Americans are just death on drugs. We hate drugs. We have a war on drugs. We spend billions and billions of dollars fighting drugs, have been for many years. So in case you're wondering out there around the world about America's position on drugs, let me tell you, we hate drugs. We hate drugs. If you want to know who's opposed to drugs, by God, just take a look. It's the United States of America. So America takes over the government of Afghanistan. We put in our own puppet outfit over there, a guy by the name of Karzai, graduate of college over here in the United States. He used to work for Union Oil Company. So we put him in over there, and now the poppy growth over there has exploded. And by 2006, just 3 years after we took over the occupation, the biggest poppy crop in the history of Afghanistan was produced in 2006, which was topped by the biggest poppy crop ever grown in the country of Afghanistan in 2007, which was again topped by another bumper crop, the biggest crop ever grown in the history of Afghanistan in 2008, which puts Afghanistan back at the top of the heap as the world's number one heroin producer, which is where they used to be before the Taliban took over. Under American occupation, we have restored Afghanistan to its previous status as the world's number one heroin producer, at the same time that we are spending billions of dollars fighting the war on drugs, which led me to believe that if you wanted to stamp out drug production in Afghanistan, this is a wild new concept, bear with me now. I think, based upon the record, if you want to eliminate drug production in Afghanistan, you put the Taliban back into power. They have a proven record of stamping out heroin production in Afghanistan. The Americans, with all of our billions of dollars in helicopters and sophisticated infrared technology, has totally failed. This is a case where technology has failed, and middle-age religious fanatics have succeeded. So I'd throw that out there for your consideration. Now, here in America, we have a war on drugs, and God bless the drug czar. We have a drug czar here. I don't know who he is now. We got a new administration. But it was, General Barry Caffrey was the drug czar during the Bush years. God love him. I mean, they spent billions of dollars. They worked their hearts out stamping out drugs, catching truckloads of drugs coming across the Mexican border, rounding up drug pushers and drug sales in America, just making America safe for little boys and girls to go to school, which is the biggest source of drugs for our children. If you want to know where your children are getting drugs, it's not from Joe down on the street corner now. Barry Caffrey and the drug czar and the war on drugs is taking the drugs off the street. If your child is getting methamphetamines, heroin, cocaine, marijuana, he's getting it on the school grounds. He's buying it from Charlie and Dickie and Joey and Janie and Sally and Betty right there in the public school. It's the biggest source of drugs for America's children is the public school. Right, so I just thought I'd let you know that. So if you want to make sure that your child has access to all of the drugs that are available, send them to public school. That's the marketplace for all of the drugs that are sold to children in America. It is the number one marketplace. It's the school. Okay, so I want to report. If you are a teenager in America looking for drugs, look no further. It's at your public school. And if your parents are forcing you to go to the Catholic school or homeschooling you, complain loudly. Call Social Lady. Have them come out and have you placed in foster care so that you can get to the availability of drugs on the school ground. It's in the public school. They don't allow them over at the Catholic school. I can understand your frustrations. Mom and Dad probably won't let you have a joint. And they sure as hell don't let you have them down here when the nunnies find out about it. Always remember that. Public school is where you want to get your drugs. Here's another little factoid here maybe you didn't know, but America's biggest agricultural crop is not wheat, corn, soybeans, or cotton. It's marijuana. Marijuana, the biggest agricultural crop in America. Now, we've got a war on drugs, and the war on drugs can't dent marijuana. We have price supports for corn, wheat, soybeans, and cotton. And we cannot get enough money into the hands of the poor, destitute farmers with all of the bureaucracy, with all of the spending and farm programs. We can't save America's farmers working 24/7. But we're out here spending billions of dollars trying to stamp out marijuana, and they produced $37 billion worth of marijuana last year with no price supports, no Department of Agriculture, no set-aside programs. And I have yet to hear a marijuana grower complaining about prices, price supports, or the marketplace, or the profitability of the product. It's the free marketplace in action. Now, boys and girls, if you want to solve the economic crisis going on around the world, go back to the free marketplace and take a page out of the Marijuana Growers of America. They're not complaining about anything, and they're making money hand over fist. Now, where you have OSHA, the EPA, and government interference in the marketplace, you have poverty. You have problems. You have an economy in disarray. Let me suggest that you get rid of your socialism and communism, go back to the Ten Commandment model, which is what the marijuana growers are practicing. The Marijuana Growers of America practice the Ten Commandment free enterprise system, and they're just making money hand over fist without any government bailouts. If you want to save Bank of America, put them on the free enterprise system. What we need here in the Treasury of the United States is some member of the Marijuana Growers of America, some drug cartel member, to take over and run that place over there and show them how to do it. Because it's pretty damn obvious the Congress of the United States, the Treasury, and all of the king's horses and all of the king's men don't know how to run an economy. But the drug lords seem to. And then finally, the drugs are witchcraft. They're strictly condemned in the Bible, and God told us not to do that. Now, here in America, we've got a war on drugs, but I want to tell you folks around the world, there isn't anybody in America that's opposed to drugs. We love our drugs. We go to our doctors, our hospitals, our clinics, we go to our drug stores, and we buy drugs and drugs and drugs. And here in America, if you're 65 or older, you are on at least six, on average, six prescription medications. No, sir, there's nobody in America opposed to drugs. The bitch in the drug market here in America is who's going to sell them, Rexall, Osco Buttery, or Joe down on the street corner. And so far, Joe down on the street corner has the competitive edge because he can provide heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, and marijuana at one-sixth the price of Rexall and your local family doctor. Well, that's it. I got to wrap it up. So much for another big lie. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.